it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to Footballistically Arsenal, a very special episode of obviously the greatest Arsenal podcast out there among the 534 that you have open to listen to. May we be the last to do a special Declan Rice-based podcast as well. How long ago? Was it confirmed last? About nearly a week ago now?
Saturday,
thank you. That is the voice of course, the legend, the man, the legend, Alan Algar. Who is hi Alan, coming on to talk to us about Declan Rice, because you are not only are you obviously one of the most legendary Arsenal fans of all time and regular on this podcast, but also a West Ham expert of some renown as well.
That's a lovely introduction, Boyd. Yes, I worked at West Ham about the last 8 years, so I've seen a hell of a lot of Declan Rice in the flesh.
Exactly, and of course, psychic Josh is here. Looking at us from his magnificent Soho House style office. Welcome, Josh.
Boy, terrific to be here. I'm trying to think if we've done a summer special before quite like this, but then we've never broken the British transfer record like this before. So maybe it's appropriate. We're breaking new ground.
It's a whole new world. Exactly. Yeah. It's a first, but you know, we were going to do it. We wanted to do it even before all the other Arsenal podcasts did their own. Ones, although one of them did their one before he'd actually been confirmed, so they kept having to say, oh, you know, if it goes through. So I feel like at least we've waited, it has gone through. It was fun. There was an extraordinary delay, wasn't there, Alan, between kind of everyone knowing that Man City had pulled out, that we'd offered enough money, effectively West Ham had accepted our offer of 100 million plus 5 million add-ons, and the actual announcement. It seemed to go on for like weeks, which was quite irritating.
Yeah, it was irritating for everybody. I think, you know, West Ham got a little bit of criticism. I'm not sure they deserved it. I mean, they were really open. I heard the interviews after they won the Europa Conference, and David Sullivan, their co-chairman, he was on numerous media outlets saying, look, we had a conversation with Dec. We offered him what would have been a record West Ham wage, and he declined it. And we kindly said to him, see out the season, and then we'll let you go. So, I mean, everybody knew that he was leaving West Ham. It was just a matter of the destination. And by the time City had pulled out, I had it on very good authority all along, as Josh will tell you, that he wanted to stay in London. It was a case of if Chelsea had been up front in January of this year and had their act together, he may well have returned to Chelsea because he was there as a youth player. But The vibe that I got from people around him was that he really didn't like what went on at Chelsea in the months after the takeover, and he really didn't see any stability there. At the same time, he bought into the the sort of story that we're going through at the moment. And part of that was actually down to watching the documentary and then getting a great understanding of what Arteta's trying to achieve. And look, I mean, some of that documentary swayed even some cynical fans. So yeah. I'm the first to put my hand up and say I definitely warm to Arteta on that. But look, when you're in football, when you're as good as Declan Rice and you see that happening and you see that you are wanted by that club, and I think those overtures started around the Boxing Day game and when he came with West Ham to Arsenal, I think from then onwards, it was ours to mess up. And we didn't mess it up and we got it over the line, and we've got to be grateful, even though we did have some painful delays to it.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, wasn't it, Josh, to see in one of his many interviews after he signed on the Arsenal socials, talking about how impressed he was by the Amazon documentary, as he called it. Of course, it's Prime Video for those of us who want to stick to the strict branding of their TV channel. But that was quite fascinating, wasn't it?
Yeah, just shows you the power and the insight that you feel a documentary like that can give. And it's appropriate you name check them correctly, given how many events and freebies you get from them. So I think it's good you've done that.
Yeah.
There was talk also that Arteta had obviously gone to see him in person with Edu and outlined the vision and how they see him in this team and sold the club really well. And it just ties into this good feeling at the moment that we have people at the top of the club now making decisions that are decisive and clear. And this has not been hidden in any way. They made absolutely clear that he is the number one priority. And even when Manchester City came into it, you know, I still was also, like Alan, told by people I know that are involved in football and have, you know, some levels of connection to him, that he was always so impressed by Arsenal and wanted to come to Arsenal. So I don't know about you guys, but in my Arsenal WhatsApp groups, there was concern about Man City hijacking this. I never really had that concern. I always thought this was going to play out like it did. And so it proved. And boy, it's okay that we waited to do this podcast, because we wanted to do it when we'd seen him playing in the Arsenal shirt. And I know you were up at 1:30 in the morning to make sure that you did that. And you saw him play in the All-Stars game.
I did.
So I feel like now is the right time to do the podcast.
Good point. Very good point, Josh. Yes. Yeah, I stayed up till, 3:30 in the morning to watch this game on this fairly meaningless game otherwise, obviously, on I was on Apple TV Plus, in fact, fascinatingly enough. Absolutely free if you've got Apple TV Plus. And he came on towards the end, so I had to wait till about 3 a.m. for him to come on, roughly. But it was very exciting to see him, and he looked great instantly. Obviously, we're playing against MLS All Stars, which is a, you know, concoction of a team made out of various Major League Soccer players. But they were, I tell you, they weren't very good. Obviously, we beat them 5-0, but they were at least like fit, pretty firm in the tackle, and they were quite kind of like, and they were pressing pretty hard. So it was some kind of test of where we are right now, and you know, we looked already kind of like a pretty well-oiled machine. But just to see him, I just wanted to watch him live coming on in that interesting new, we have to talk about the interesting new away kit. And he looked instantly at home and had a kind of, could have had a goal at one point. And he was fantastic, basically. And the other thing we should say is Jurrien Timber was excellent. I mean, he looked really, really good. He came on at right back and just looked like a really top quality option to have. Kind of stepped into midfield quite a lot, incredibly confident on the ball. But obviously, this is all about Declan Rice to some extent. I was very impressed with him. And I wanted to go on, Josh.
I was worried you were moving on already from Rice.
Yeah.
We haven't done enough here.
Absolutely not moving on.
We'll talk to him, but
yeah.
You know, we've got to talk Havertz, that incredible highlighter kit that we will be wearing. Is there just something incredibly exciting about the fact that it's Arsenal who have broken the British transfer record?
It's astonishing. It is, for me. I don't know what Alan thinks. I mean, a lot of people have talked about, is it the biggest signing since Bergkamp or since Sol Campbell? One of those. But it's definitely, for me, the biggest statement signing and the most exciting signing for decades. It just is. And it's also, for so many reasons. I mean, partly I talked about the delay in the Man City element in my WhatsApp group. I have to say, like, about a week roughly before the Man City interest kind of seemed to news of that seemed to drop, I'd heard on my WhatsApp group, and I said to everyone, it's a done deal for Declan, because I'd heard from people close to him that he was absolutely firm that he wanted to join Arsenal and no one else. It was just a matter of sorting out the deal and Arsenal meeting the required financial obligations, etc. And then people were like, on my WhatsApp group, what source was that? And I was like, I can't say. And then the Man City thing news broke, and I was scared. I have to say, I was like, particularly, I didn't want, you know, to be humiliated by my overconfidence on the WhatsApp group. But because you think, you know, Man City, if they're offering the same amount of money, which at one point they were, and they obviously need that, you know, the players like Gundogan leaving, they kind of do need to strengthen their squad unbelievably. It seemed like, you know, maybe he would change his mind, even though, as Alan said, I'd also heard the same thing, that he was absolutely firm that Arsenal was the best option. He was really impressed with Mikel did a PowerPoint presentation at his home and all of that stuff. But still, when Man City come in for a player, you think he's going to have his head turned, isn't he? Because you're pretty much guaranteed trophies. I would say you're guaranteed a new, really exciting project coming to Arsenal, but you're not guaranteed trophies, you know, instantly, like you are with City. So, Alan, what did you make of that whole, the Man City element of the story when that broke?
Well, one good thing that I do know about Declan Rice from sort of working around him on the fringes and working with him on a few things is that he is a football traditionalist.
Right.
So I think, on top of the fact that he wanted to stay in London because he's family orientated as well, I think it wouldn't have appealed to him to go and play 15 to 20 times for City in a rotation and then be handed trophies. I think he's that much of a football traditionalist and comes from what you would call a sort of working class football family, that joining Arsenal as one of the biggest three clubs in the country, regardless of what City and Chelsea spend, you know, we're up there with United and Liverpool in terms of history and prestige, and he'd rather do it with us. I think something to add on to that is the fact that he is young and he's not taking a huge gamble by joining us. He will still be sought after in 3 to 4 or 5 years' time, if his contract comes up or things change. So, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I don't think he's taken the ultimate gamble. You look at someone like Harry Kane, he is being given a gamble at the moment. He is a player that, you know, obviously has been brilliant in the Premier League, but hasn't got any trophies to show for it. His time is running out. Declan Rice's time has just really begun. And, you know, he's built that at another traditional club like West Ham. He's managed to leave with a trophy. And I think he wants to do it the right way, and he'll continue to try and do it the right way as long as we keep our part of the bargain, which is to stick to whatever Mikel has told him in the presentation. So I had no concerns on that. I firmly believed what I'd been told, and that is that he's 100% staying in London, and now Chelsea's out the picture, only we can mess it up.
Yeah. And we didn't mess it up, which is...
And we didn't, no. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that we have kudos to everyone involved for getting it across the line. People, what do you think about the fee? Because I saw people say, lots of people saying, first of all, when I think it was our second offer was rejected, and then we were about to come up with 100 million, the magic amount, that some of the classic kind of in the know accounts on social media were like, oh, we can't afford that. We're never going to stump up that amount of money. There was a few people saying that I saw, and I thought, well, I'm sure we can if we really want to.
Yeah.
And obviously, in the end, we did. I think 100 million plus 5 million is absolutely the price that he's worth right now. I don't think it's even any remotely excessive. Like, when you think about equivalent signings in the last few years, you think about how young he is, how he's a future England captain, really, apart from whatever happens to him at Arsenal. He's one of the first choice names on the England team sheet. He's he's kind of he's just an incredible talent, like a once in a generation talent in many ways. I looked on Transfer Market all the way through the whole thing, and he's basically one of the top 10 most desired players in the world.
Yeah.
No. And so I just thought that's absolutely the going price for him.
I think we get a little complacent, especially now that times are hard for a lot of people, in saying that figures in football don't really matter. And sometimes you say only 50 million or, 105 million sounds a lot. Well, you know, obviously it is a hell of a lot of money, but the deals are structured in such a way that it's not 105 million out of our pocket straight away. West Ham wanted the majority of it up front because they need to replace him. They have been terrible in the transfer market for many, many years now. So I know their fans are not trusting them to spend it wisely, but they've got some money in their pocket to replace him. But look, focusing on us, if someone said to you 90 million and you said that was okay, you know, it's only another 15 million. And again, we're saying only, but we've wasted a hell of a lot of money on wages of players that haven't performed in the past. He's a proven Premier League performer. And going back to the initial portion of your previous question, I think it's up there with the Sol Campbell signing, just on the basis that Campbell was a proven Premier League player. Dennis Bergkamp had a huge name when he came to us, but let's remember he was languishing at Inter Milan and hadn't performed in Serie A. It seems ridiculous, knowing what we know now, to say that Bergkamp was damaged goods when we got him, but he wasn't at any kind of peak of his career. He was looking to restart his career. So a proven Premier League player like Declan Rice, as you say, sought after in all these lists and all the stats that you want to check. And mark my words, having witnessed it firsthand, he dragged West Ham out of that relegation battle last season almost single-handedly. He was playing with a player in midfield called Souček. Souček had an amazing first 18 months at West Ham, incredible, and actually was a key part of Declan bedding himself into the team and having, you know, a role in the team. Mark Noble obviously quit at the end of that year. He wasn't getting many games. He was a key part and he was the captain. Rice took over the captaincy. At almost the same time, Souček's form went off the cliff and David Moyes kept picking him. And Declan Rice, honestly, sometimes I was coming out of the London Stadium feeling that Declan Rice had played two games because he had to cover two positions on that pitch. Souček was well off the boil and he did it on his own a lot of the time. And he dragged them single-handedly out of that relegation battle last year. And he's now coming into a side that are more offensive, going to have more of the ball, have better players around him. He doesn't have to, if he doesn't want to, go and sort of have his face to his goalkeeper and defenders trying to get the ball, then turn or play a pass, which he was doing for West Ham magnificently. He very rarely makes the wrong pass. Yeah. Sometimes it's simple, but sometimes the best pass is a simple pass. And he had done that for year on year on year, and he'd slowly started becoming a more offensive player as well. His goal scoring was poor. He got off the mark against Arsenal about 4 or 5 years ago. The last two seasons, including internationals, he's picked up 6 goals per season. And that's in, as I say, a quite defensive team where a holding midfielder isn't going to get many chances around the box. With us, he's going to be doing what Xhaka was doing last season, late arrivals into the box, edge of the box shots, look out for those. He is a little, if I'm going to give him one weakness, and it is his shots, he's a little wayward with his shots. But look, Thomas Partey was like that originally, and he slowly got to grips with it. And we can never put him on penalties because he's probably the worst penalty taker I've seen. They're the only two negatives I'm going to give you. Other than that, we are getting a fantastic player worth every penny of the 105 million.
The worst penalty taker you've ever seen?
Yeah, quite possibly. Quite possibly. Wow. Yeah, okay. Have a little look. Yeah, he's not a good penalty taker. But look, we haven't got him for that. So if we go deep into any tournaments where we need penalties, I would have him at number 10. I'd probably even have the goalkeeper ahead of him.
Wow, wow. But it's true, Josh. You know, I feel it's like this is like a no-risk signing in a weird way.
Yes.
Because it may have cost you 100 million plus five in add-ons, but he's so obviously a great player. He's so obviously... there's no way he's not going to fit into the system. There's no... Do you know what I mean? It's not like... I feel like it's the opposite of buying someone like Mudryk, for example, you know, like whose eventual price is not going to be far short of 100 million himself. That, you know, that is a risk. That's like you're paying a huge amount of money for an untested player who's potential. But Declan Rice is the finished article now. Yeah. I mean, it can only get... So that's why I think it's so incredibly exciting.
Because... Yeah, so, I mean, something else that hasn't been mentioned in that, when you buy a foreign player and you introduce them to the Premier League, they have to adapt to the league. They also have to adapt to the surroundings and London and the UK. Well, look, Declan is London... born and bred, and he will probably be staying in his family home still, or very near to, and that was part of his reason to decide to join us. So we haven't got that risk. So as you say, Boyd, the list of risks aren't really there. I'm going to touch lots of wood now, but he has a very good injury record. He has pretty much played almost every single game of the 38 in the Premier League for West Ham the last 2-3 seasons. I think he got rested towards the end of last season when they finally confirmed their safety, because they were resting him for the European games. But that was by choice, not by injury. He has a really good record as well. Another good thing to note here, considering the position he plays, he has a really good discipline record. He's a little hot-headed, but mainly that's to do with the passion of being a captain. And when he's captain of West Ham, sometimes they are in a battle, so you sometimes see that come out. What he manages to do is not really pick up more than 4 or 5 yellow cards per season. Most of those for West Ham came in matches against the Big Six, where obviously they're in a bit of a battle or backs against the wall. Liverpool, he picked up his first 4 games against Liverpool, he picked up yellow cards, but we know the refs like to favour them. But another thing to mention on that score is the fact that, you know, having an established English player, and you know, I say this is subliminal rather than actual by design, but refs do like to favour those English established players, and having another one of them at the centre of any argument in midfield is going to be a big thing.
Josh?
Well, what can you say? Well, you mentioned there that it's not a risk, and you've nailed it, right? It is not. We have seen him play over 40 games for England and be one of the first times on the England team sheet. Started every game at the recent World Cup. He has played over 200 Premier League games for West Ham. And we know exactly what he can do. And when you're looking at the options in that area of the pitch from anywhere in the world, there is consensus that he's one of the best in his position. And so putting someone into your team who is one of the world's best in that position, and I think would have played football at Man City, you know, had he gone there. I don't think he would have necessarily been in and out of the team. I don't think Man City would have been putting in there. I think it was it 80 plus 10? It was hard to keep track. I think they got to about 90 million, according to the various sources. I don't think City are spending that money unless they see him having a huge impact on what they can do there. So I think there's huge excitement. I think Havertz is an extremely planned signing. I think Arteta knows exactly what he wants to do with him. And I think part of that is Rice being alongside him as much as is going to be possible. And it's hugely exciting. And to have signed an England player at the peak of their powers, I'm trying to rack my head here, but I'm struggling here with any example when we have actually signed a home international at the peak of their powers. And I'm not sure we have, really, certainly in the last 20, 30 years. I don't know if you correct me here, Al, but if you think about our players that have played for England, you know, it's Ramsdale, Ben White, Smith Rowe, Saka, you know, you're then going back to like Maitland, Niles, Chambers, Welbeck. You know, we have not signed an absolute England star. And I think it's just something, obviously, being, you know, an English club, that's really exciting about that.
I think even the Campbell signing, he was one of sort of 5 or 6 centre-backs that England were using at that time. I mean, he wasn't an established England star.
Yeah, he's the last.
Welbeck was getting in the team quite often, but not. I mean, again, not a player at the peak of his powers. No, I think this is a huge statement sign.
Were you indicating we should take a break, Josh? That's what you were signaling. Yes, we should.
Perhaps so.
Yeah, let's do that. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back. And I want to talk a little bit about Declan the man after this break. And we're back from the break. Yes, Josh.
Boy, before we went for the break, you said you wanted to talk about Declan the man. Did you ever interview him, Boy? Have you ever spent some time with him?
Regular listeners may be aware that I interviewed him. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to go on about it. Well, obviously I do want to go on about it. Yes, I interviewed him about a year ago, I think it was, for Circle 08, the excellent sport, culture and style magazine. So I met him, had a while in his presence, interviewed him. He was absolutely fantastic, as I've mentioned before, very charismatic. And I think Alan's point about him being an old school kind of guy, it really came through, actually. That was the thing, that he's definitely got a very romantic view of football. And he was talking about how much the European games meant to West Ham, for him playing West Ham, how much he loved. Like, those were definitely the peak of his career, playing in those European games last season and eventually winning. Obviously, I interviewed him before they won it. But he was like, he said himself, like, he even loved doing the post-match interviews when he was really pumped up and couldn't believe that West Ham, you know, albeit within that competition, but West Ham were playing in these European teams. He was absolutely thrilled and couldn't believe it. And then just everything, his brothers, his kind of agent, isn't he? That family thing Alan mentioned is true as well. And I think he's just incredibly confident, kind of exuding charisma kind of guy. And like, kind of takes control. Like, I thought, like, you know, I'm interviewing him, and some footballers would be like quite wary about what you're going to ask them, and, you know, kind of have, and kind of give you, he's like, it's maintained eye contact, not, you know, veer for 1 second. And kind of, when I asked him something even vaguely difficult or whatever, he was very clever and smart about it. And if you watch those videos, but all of those videos that they unleashed, obviously, on the day he signed, funnily enough, I think the live reveal, which was on the YouTube channel, wasn't it, when they went to the dressing room and Arteta welcomed him and he went, do you want to say anything? And he said, oh, actually, yeah, I wouldn't mind saying a few words. And I thought, that's him. Like, that is very much Declan Rice. Like, he's an incredibly confident, articulate, smart guy who is a kind of proper leadership figure, will give inspiring speeches, all of that. So I think you're just getting a really, I think that's part of the value that he's got. And that's part of why I think Arteta was so keen on getting him from, as you say, from like last Christmas or whatever. I think it's really obvious, isn't it, that how much importance Arteta places on the personality of someone. And he is a man with a personality.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, we might not like to say it, but I think we've got to thank two of our London rivals here. First off, Chelsea, who in their youth system play players in every single position and then try and make sure that everyone is a rounded player and a rounded individual, albeit that they let him go, same time as Eddie, and we ended up with Eddie as well.
So him and Eddie are really good friends, aren't they? They've stayed in touch.
Yes. And the other thing to mention is the culture at West Ham, and, I mean, people sort of, they turn their noses up at Mark Noble as a captain, but as a captain, he does bring players that have that personality. He brings that out. And he almost set up that captaincy for Declan Rice over the years that he played alongside him in midfield, then obviously drifted out of the team but was still the captain off the pitch. Then Dec was the captain on the pitch, and then Dec took over the captaincy. And that culture at West Ham, amongst those English players at West Ham, and I've seen it firsthand, I've seen it at the training ground, it is a lovely environment for someone like Dec. You've got to be good, because you've got to hold your own in there. But once you do, that confidence will build and that character will come out. And I think that's part of it. And one of the very early West Ham awards that I attended to present the Hammer of the Year, Dec won Young Hammer of the Year, which is actually presented by the academy coaches. And I noticed at the end that he was the last to leave. And West Ham fans can actually attend their awards by buying a table. It's not cheap, but it's, you know, a nice hotel, you get a nice meal. But then the players are sort of offered a chance to mingle. And a lot don't. A lot obviously head home and, you know, some make their own choices. But every single year I attended that, apart from the COVID years where the players couldn't mingle, Declan Rice was the first to cross to those tables and the last to leave those tables. He really, really gets it. And my niece was lucky enough to be the mascot on Boxing Day at the Emirates with West Ham. She's a West Ham fan. And, you know, it's a big game for West Ham, but she said everything that, you know, could have been done by Deck was done to make her feel that, you know, she'd had a great time there. And she also said a funny thing. She said, how does he know all the Arsenal players? Because obviously, you know, a lot of the Arsenal players are friends of his. So I do sort of get that tapping up probably started on Boxing Day and then we've managed to open that Christmas present in the summer.
Well, I think there was a lot of talk we wanted to sign him in January, wasn't there? That you know, if West Ham had been comfortable in the league, you know, maybe a deal could have been done. But obviously, it's been an incredible story for Rice to lead them to safety. You said, Alan, to drag them to safety almost single-handedly. It's incredible. And to leave with a European trophy, it's like the biggest fairy tale West Ham ending you could ever hope to have. But yeah, this has been a long pursuit. And it is sensible to think that what's been written about Ramsdale and Saka as England teammates, almost giving references on the character and the leadership qualities, absolutely makes sense and just ties everything into ticking every box you could possibly want to tick.
Well, I did ask him about, and obviously I was like, you know, the framework was, you know, you are one of the most sought after players in the world. You know, I'm an Arsenal fan. You know, is there any chance? Kind of like almost jokingly. And he went, well, you know, he said, I tell you that I love Saka. He said, I absolutely love him. He's the best guy. You know, he was talking about how much, you know, the kind of bond he's formed with him in the England squad. And he was very, very vociferous about how brilliant a guy Saka was in particular. So I was kind of excited about that. And
he's very likable, isn't he? He's one of the most really likable footballers out there. Yeah. Comes across so well. Alan would have had more to do with him. You've interviewed him. But
I put my picture I posted a picture with him. You know, he looks twice as tall as I am. I mean, it's slightly distorted. I mean, I am very short and he's very tall. But yeah, he was absolutely delighted. He could not have been more professional. He did a whole complicated shoot, which went on for all day for the magazine. He was absolute delight, yeah.
And that says something. And I've heard all similar from anyone who's worked for the England squad, that he's an absolute joy. And it's so exciting. Very likable player in what we've spoken about before, being an incredibly likable squad that has been, you know, put together. We haven't done a lot of business this summer. We've signed three players, but there's excitement around all three of them. And you get the feeling that there is still this belief in the club that we can go one better, that we can go into this season. I'm sure Alan's got the odds. I think we're second favourites. But that we can go there and make a real challenge and intent, and you can only think we're in a better position this season than last, and that's all we can do.
And I'm starting to think, Alan, I mean, looking at Man City, I mean, I would never have said this like even like a month ago, but now I'm starting to feel like they're losing quite a lot of key players, aren't they? They've bought Kovacic, but they haven't done that much in the market. And I know that obviously they're an incredibly strong squad and finished streaks ahead of us in the end. But I'm starting to feel a little bit like I have hope that they might be slightly less good next year than last year. I don't know. What is the betting at the moment?
Yeah, they peaked at the right time last season, and then they just continued that peak and we just couldn't obviously get a look in. Whereas we had the sort of gradual drop off at the end. But I think a lot of the stats will tell you this bottling it was ridiculous. You know, the pace that we kept up originally showed that there was no bottling it at all. It was just the fact that the City were relentless at the end. So we need to get at them early on in the season. Obviously, we went odds on last season. They're odds on starting this season, as you'd expect from treble winners. They're 8-13. But look, I mean, we are joint second favourites with Liverpool, both around 7-1. I'd be favouring us over Liverpool. I think Liverpool have got a bit of work to do, and I think they'll have another sort of transition year at Liverpool. I think we're the only ones that really can challenge. You know, Chelsea have spent a lot of money, but there's still lots of problems behind the scenes and lots of things to sort out in that squad. United, I think Onana's a good signing. They won't make as many mistakes at the back if they get rid of Harry Maguire. But still, you've got to look at a team that is just coming to grips with their manager. I think I'm more optimistic about this season than I was last, obviously, because last came out of the blue.
Yeah.
You have slightly more fear this season because the expectation level has been raised. But we should be challenging. We should be challenging again and only really see two teams in it.
Wow. Yeah. God. It's exciting, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I am feeling weirdly confident. Yeah. And obviously, I'm the most pessimistic Arsenal fan.
I think we could do with a striker.
Yeah. What about Balogun, though? And, you know, kind of keeping him up. That situation is fascinating, isn't it? Because, you know, he's got the same agent as Eddie. And, you know, I don't know. Go on.
The way he's been speaking, unless a massive gives a I might be off vibe,
yeah,
or like I'm indifferent to potentially staying, I don't know. He definitely doesn't lack confidence, that's very clear from hearing him, you know, speak. And I guess so, he should. He's just become a, you know, a full international player. You know, America's had an amazing season, you know, in France. But yeah, just listening to a few of the interviews that were done, even post match after the game against the MLS All-Stars, it felt very non-committal and, you know, we'll see. And, you know, I think he must feel he is ready to be a first-choice striker or very close to it somewhere. And the club might prove difficult to keep him and Eddie happy next year, and maybe, you know, maybe it doesn't work out keeping all three, and obviously Jesus is going nowhere.
Yeah, we should say, Jesus, the goals they scored in that, I mean, I know it was against All-Stars, but they were fantastic. Yeah, Jesus looked in fantastic form, I have to say.
But a lot of people point towards the Saliba injury quite rightly as our downfall last season. We scored goals from all over the pitch, but the contribution from Eddie and Jesus of only 14 Premier League goals between them. I know, obviously, you know, there were injury issues for Jesus there, right in the middle after the World Cup, but that's not good enough for your two forwards to be contributing. And even if they'd up that by 10, I think we'd have seen a different, you know, outcome to the end of last season. And I just think it's the only thing I'm worried about. Just think it's a little bit of a risk to not have looked at that and looked at that part of the pitch and just say, well, we'll trust Eddie, and if Balogun wants to stay, he can, and we'll try and rotate three strikers through these games. We're scoring goals all over the pitch, so Arteta might say, I don't care as long as those goals are in, but you still need to mix it up a bit, and I just don't think they contributed enough last year.
Yeah, I agree, but I don't see us linked with any strikers at the moment.
No. I mean, no. I think to the extent where I think you could quite confidently say we won't be signing any. So, I mean, we are left with that, and I think that is my one concern going into the season. But otherwise, really positive transfer window, really positive summer. I don't like getting carried away with the pre-season games, but, you know, by the time we kick off against Forest, I think it's a lovely fixture to have that first morning of the Premier League.
Yeah, fantastic. Josh?
And just on, we should touch on outgoings as well, with Granit Xhaka.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's gone, hasn't he, boy? I mean, we all knew it, and it felt, you know, inevitable, and just seemed to take some time. And Arsenal was wanted to get the fee right, but yeah, the biggest 360 Arsenal career in Arsenal history has come to an end, and there's going to be a lot of people, I think, who miss him. I think his influence, you know, we saw it in the Amazon documentary, didn't we? And his leadership qualities.
But
I've seen the way that Teta has been speaking about Declan Rice and his lighthouse. You know, he's been calling him a lighthouse and how he shines light upon others and is going to lift up others. So hopefully there won't be that leadership deficit. And then Pablo Mari, who probably will notice less leaving
good,
the club.
Good luck, Pablo. Yeah, that was not one of our most...
What do you think about Thomas Partey's...
I was going to ask about that. The Partey situation is weird. It's interesting because hasn't joined the tour yet, has he, in America for, I would describe as mysterious reasons. It feels like if someone came in for a big bid for him that they would let him go, but he was like that. The two turnarounds. You talk about the turn. You're absolutely right with Granit Xhaka. That turnaround was unbelievable. He had an amazing season last year. But part of what was amazing was Thomas Partey was phenomenal for at least the first half of last season. So that's quite a big thing to let him go. But it looks like something might be happening there, Alan, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think did he stay with his international? He joined up with his international when they gave him more time off. That was the official line on the not joining up with the US tour. I think it would be wrong to get rid of him. Yeah. I'm not inclined to rely on Jorginho in that space. I know he's got all the accolades and trophies to show for it, but I still think having Thomas Partey in there is a lot better. It will allow Declan Rice to roam forward. It frees up a lot of other players, even though he did have a little bit of a drop off last season as well. At that time, I don't know. I don't think we should be weakening our squad just to accommodate. I think we need to be fully aware. It is interesting because I think, you know, when Ben White plays right back, he does actually sort of mostly stick to as wide as he can. Whereas Timber, it was a pre-season friendly against the MLS opposition. Timber was cutting inside a bit like you'd have seen the left back doing whenever Zinchenko played left back. So I don't know if Arteta's trying to get them both to do it, or he's only going to do it on the right side now, possibly. That will help a little bit in that middle space, but just I don't feel like you should be getting rid of international players without good reason.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, we should probably wrap up. I think it's safe to say we've provided more insights than all the other post Declan Rice signing special podcasts. Thanks to Alan and Josh. Yes, Josh.
No, it's been. You're off to the Charity Shield, Community Shield. Sorry, you go and be there, Boyd Allen.
I haven't got a ticket for Community Shield.
I'm trying to get tickets because I left it. Yeah, I know. I left it late. I could have got them, and then decided that I was going to go. I was holiday plans, so I didn't know whether I was going to be in the country or not. But I am. So, but I've asked McDonald's, so they're going to provide surely.
Oh, exciting!
Wow.
They don't sponsor it anymore, but they've got tickets apparently.
Okay.
Wow.
Shout out to them.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. Wow. Great stuff. Boys, we'll have to sort that out.
We'll sort that out. Yeah. Thanks so much to you two. Yeah, it's been amazing. And thanks to everyone for listening. And we will be back. I think we'll do a full proper pre-season podcast at some point.
Maybe after the Community Shield.
Maybe after the Community Shield. Brilliant. Thank you very much. We'll see you then. Bye.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.